Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is December 23rd, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter How It Works on page 66. The third paragraph, starting with, we turned back through our list, going through that one paragraph, ending in, wish some away any more than alcohol. Today's readers are, and thank you so much to Team Monday, Elizabeth D., Chanel T., Tamara C., On the Steps, Patrick O., Tradition, Susan G., our newcomer greeter, Karen W., and our host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Ann A. The reference number for yesterday's special edition on December 22nd, 2024 is 22,015. That's 22015. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover, yes, can recover, through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 tradition of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Patrick O. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Patrick.
Good morning. This is Patrick, recovered compulsive eater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. I will now ask for Susan G. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Susan.
All right. Thank you, Amy. This is Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 66 on the third paragraph. And I'm going to ask Elizabeth D. to get us started. Please go ahead, Elizabeth. Can't wait.
Hi, can I be heard?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you for your service. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston. We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. Okay, wow. For me, this paragraph is the turning point in the entire discussion of resentments we've been studying over the past 3 pages or so. I've learned, starting on page 64, that my selfishness and my self-centeredness is the root of my compulsive overeater and the unmanageability of my life, and that resentment is the number one manifestation of that self-absorption. Then I'm given a tool to uncover these resentments, who they are directed at, and what they are affecting, how they are affecting me. And I've been taught to write these in 3 columns so I can see them clearly, but that is not enough. My perseverating mind will keep the story going of how I was hurt on and on and on. I'm as powerless over these thoughts as I am over my trigger foods, ingredients, and behaviors. I need a spiritual solution, something beyond me, and that's what is coming next. That's what this real whole book is about. The fourth column, after the third, the fourth column, while this isn't in the Big Book, many call it the turnaround. This is the column and the process that I am turning back to the list and try to see things from a different perspective. This is where I am turning my will and part of turning my will and my life over to a higher power, to see things and the situations where I've been hurt in a new way and to see my part. It's hard work. I don't want to do the turning toward my part. I'd rather wallow in it. Sometimes I have been hurt really badly, and people would say justifiably, but the fact is I must, and that's the key word here, I must turn back to the list and see things from a new perspective. It's been pointed out to me that while most of the first 164 pages of the Big Book expresses ideas as suggestion, but there are a few places where the word must is used. This is such an important turning point. They use the word must. We got to keep moving. I have to keep moving. For this compulsive overeater, myself, these resentments have to be mastered. The for me is death. To be killed, has a literal meaning, obviously. And when I'm in my disease, I'm heading toward a slow, painful death. There's no doubt about it. Before that happens, though, I'm barely living when I'm compulsively overeating. So this is really important. I need to turn my will in alignment, and that partly means see my part. God's going to help me here because I've already committed putting my will and my life in God's hands, and I am trusting that this process will lead me toward freedom. And it every single time. It drives me forward to the fourth column, where I turn and I see things a new way. And I have to tell you, I'm going to end with this. It is really hard to adequately express the peace and the tranquility and the freedom that comes in almost immediately when I turn. And God shows me the way out of these hurts, disappointments, and disturbances that hold me back from my relationship with God. This is not enough. There's many more steps to come, but this is, for me, the turning point as I'm really putting my life and my will in God's hands. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth D., for getting us started. Wow. On that note, we are going to take names of those who would also like to share on what was read. On page 66, third paragraph, but although we value your experience, strength, and hope, if you've shared in the last couple of days, meeting on any Vision for You meeting on Thursday or Friday, we ask that you please step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope as well. All right, so let's get going. Who wants to share?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Maria C. in California.
Maria C. Johan,
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Lisa, I got you. I got Lisa, Marie, and Johan. I missed the other two that came in together.
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
And Tamara C.
Tamara. Anyone else? Did I get everyone that came in? No one else? All right, let's get going. Lisa B., Marie C., I think it was, from California, Johan, Lisa N., Tamara C. All right, Lisa, please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Amy. Thank you. I apologize. I couldn't tell if you'd heard me. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm here in South Carolina. And I do spell my name L-E-S-A. And I've just been really gobbling up these meetings the past few weeks. And, you know, oh, my goodness, it tells me that it's holding the key to the future. And what I hear with that is that key to freedom, you know, key to really to freedom and happiness, not like rainbows and puppy dogs that everything goes my way. But when things are not going my way, I can see the truth. I'm not a victim. Things aren't being done to me. People aren't doing things to me. And that's such a painful way to live. And I lived my life, you know, really for so long that way. And I'm just so excited about this. You know, I went back the last few days and I even listened to last year's meeting when we were in this place in the big book, and just listening to both meetings, the 7 a.m., the 10 a.m. recorded daily meetings, you know, from last year, because I can't seem to get enough of this. This is where I am right now in my process. And I am so thrilled. I am so thrilled with the joy that comes as a result of doing this work. There's so much stuff that's hidden under the pain of blaming others and thinking that other people are doing things to me. And just like our book tells me that, you know, people are often wrong and the world is often wrong. But, you know, for me as a compulsive overeater and an addict, I have to see what part I'm playing in it. And a lot of times it's just my not wanting to accept it, not wanting to accept life on life's terms, and how that doesn't work. It's just not effective for me. And, you know, also seeing the fancy to real. And that's why listening to others, you know, listening with an open mind, coming with an open mind and asking God to go into the meeting with me, sit with me. You know, I'm learning that this walk is really like we, like I always interpreted we like, you know, the fellowship. But I'm seeing it more and more that it's we like God and I. God is truly my partner. Not only is my creator, my maker, but He's really here with me constantly, all the time, calling me to the truth, calling me to the light. And sometimes I want to dig my heels in and be in self-pity and be in resistance and struggle. And I don't want to stay there too long because that's like playing with fire. So that's when I have to call out and say, God, help me, you know, help me stop this and really give this over to you. And then I do this also with the we, like we together, you know, with skin on it. So anyways, so grateful to be here, to have abstinence, to have a recovered state and neutrality, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. Marie C. from California, you're up. And that was Lisa, by the way, from South Carolina, L-E-S-A. Okay, go ahead, Marie.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. My name is Maria C. in California, but I'm actually on vacation this week in North Carolina, so I'm very excited to be at the early meeting. Thank you, everyone who's taking the meeting today. What is really calling to me from this paragraph is the couple of sentences. Just the one sentence. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. And I found myself reflecting on that as I've been turning over 10 steps to others, doing outreach, hearing their stories, and, you know, speaking to a fellow yesterday and reflecting on a tough time in my life where I had a lot of resentments and a lot of fears over the course of a couple of weeks. That it was like a new wrinkle in what was going on happened, a new development, and I had to turn that over too. And had other people done something wrong? Yes, but that means it's even more urgent for me to turn it over because self-righteousness is one of my biggest character defects. The fact that it's and that someone has harmed me or harmed someone I care about doesn't mean that I get to wallow in the resentment. It means it's even more urgent for me to turn it over and get rid of it because I will hold on to it and it will kill me. And, you know, they must be mastered, but how? For me, they're not never mastered by me. I give them to God and God masters them for me and helps me learn from them. Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much for listening. I've passed. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you, Maria C. from California, currently in North Carolina. All right, Johan in Sweden, please go ahead, Johan, followed by Lisa N.
Hey, good morning. My name is Johan N. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Sweden, snowy Sweden. It's really snowing away here. Thank you so much for service this morning. What an amazing lead share as well, and the shares, and amazing paragraph. And for me, this paragraph talks about how the importance of laying out the facts, the importance of really honestly and thoroughly doing a step four, and that the resentments that I carry has the ability to kill me if I don't take care of them. And you know, I cannot take care of resentments myself. That's God, and that's what this program is. This is not a self-help program. This is a God-help program. I need help in order to get this to get rid of this resentment that are killing me. You know, I've been eating on my crappy childhood, my whole life, and also, you know, using it as an excuse to eat and to just be myself. And what this paragraph is asking me to do is like look at these things in a from a different angle. And step four was really an eye opener. It really enlightened me. I could finally see that I had a part in most things that had happened, some part, and I could finally see my selfishness in things. And with that, moving, you know, forward in the steps, moving into step five, and into step six and step seven, and in step six, where I do my part, I become willing to have, you know, this character defects removed, and step seven, where God does his part, if I let him, you know, asking him to remove them. And then coming into step eight and nine, which is, you know, was the, yeah, that's where it happened, you know, that's where it really happened. Going to the people that I think had wronged me in the past, making my amends, you know, to my alcoholic stepmom, which I thought, you know, had destroyed my childhood, and going to her, making amends, getting no amends back, and that's fine. I was there doing my job, but what happens after is just a miracle, you know. Forgiveness, love, it's just amazing. And today I don't have to carry this resentment in my heart anymore. You know, I'm a free man. I'm free of it. I'm free of it. It's amazing. So taking a sponsor, working the steps, getting into OA, and, you know, into these meetings, I vision for you, and just working it, and just, you know, let the miracles happen in your life. So grateful to be here today, and it's a fantastic program. It's simple, not easy, as Bill says, but you know, it works if you work it. So with that, I pause. Thank you.
Thank you, Johan N. from Sweden. Now we have Lisa N. And Lisa, before you go, just a friendly reminder, we are on page 66, the third paragraph, and we'll be taking some names after Tamara C. Go ahead, Lisa, you're up.
Thank you so much, moderator, for your service this morning. Good morning, everyone. Lisa N. from Wisconsin. And I just love this paragraph, because this morning when I woke up, I take care of, and I didn't even realize I had them last night. I woke up and they were in me, and I was feeling tension, and I knew there was something wrong. So in my prayer time, I brought them to my higher power and then to my sponsor. And thank goodness, because I always kept resentments inside, and that's why I ate. I didn't realize it. I thought I was right. I thought I had to make sure everybody in my mind, I mean, they probably didn't know it unless my behavior might have shown them some kind of an attitude, but I never said to anybody, I'm resentful at you. I just ate at them and kept that inside of me. And what I like is it says, we're prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. I didn't know I could until I got into this program. I didn't know there was a way to handle these resentments. I wanted to be right. I wanted to be comfortable. I wanted to fix, manage, and control everyone. And when they didn't follow my script, they were, I mean, I practically just kicked them out of my life. And, but I smiled, you know, I was smiling the whole time, but eating like unbelievable. So this program gave me an option on how to handle feelings, emotions that weren't accurate, because most of them weren't, you know, the way I saw things. It was confused and sick. So I'm very grateful for all of your shares this morning. And thank you so much for this meeting. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. All right, Tamara C., you're up. And then we're going to take some more names. Go ahead, Tamara.
Thank you, Amy. I really appreciate your service. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Oh my goodness, the shares this morning have been really helpful to me, really inspiring. People have said everything that I needed to hear, and I just need to identify in and hear myself say the same things out loud too. And I agree with the lead share that this is a great turning point paragraph, because now it's coming. I'm about to learn the actual helpful part of looking at my resentments. And I shared last week that when I first got to this part of the big book, I thought, what does this have to do with, you know, helping me with my food? I don't need to dwell on these resentments. But now I'm going to learn the action that will lead me forward to recovery, to a connection with a higher power, and to freedom from compulsive eating. And so I see that I'm not finished with my work on the list, as at first I thought it was just those three columns. But now I'm reading on and I see, oh, okay, I've only done the part where I see why I stay sore and why I just keep circling back to anger. After hearing the first, the lead share, I had to look up perseverate, and I see, oh, yes, that's what my mind does. I just do, and these resentments, the injury, the harm is long past, but I'm still there living in it, full of self-pity. But now I'm looking for the key to a new design for living. And I see that I have been giving power to the world. And as people have said, who are often quite wrong, but sometimes they're only wrong in my fancied imagination. And this power that I give them is fatal. So I can't do this. It is going to kill me. This inability to be content with people as they are and reality as it is. And I have no relief. So I turn to the food, or I think maybe I'll get some relief. And this compulsive eating is going to take me out. So I want to live. I want to live. And I have a higher power who wants me to live. And God is a God of abundance and wants to help me and wants good things for me. So I believe that my higher power uses these instructions coming up to help me, to show me what to do with my grouch and my brainstorm. And I follow these directions and I find the relief that I never found in the food. So let's keep going. Thank you. And yeah, pass with that.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Okay, so we're going to take some more names. Who would like to share on what was read? Page 66, third paragraph.
Anne Marie M.
Lee H.
Jeannie B. from Florida.
Cindy
H. in Michigan.
Cindy H. There was somebody in Florida I missed.
Jeannie D.
Jeannie?
Yes.
Jeannie B. Okay. Gotcha. Amory, Lee H, Cindy H, I think, Jeannie B. Anyone else? We got time.
Judith S. P.
Judith? Okay. let's go with what we got here. Anne Marie M, Lee H, Cindy H, Jeannie B, Judith SP. Please go ahead, Anne Marie.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning, Amy. Thank you for taking the meeting. This is Anne Marie M, miraculously recovering from compulsively overeating. And this paragraph, that second sentence, to look at something from an entirely different angle. That I often, very often start my prayer with that, for God to please help me to look at this from an entirely different angle. The next paragraph is talking about prayer, and I thought the prayer was for the other person, for the other person to change. And it's, you know, it's not. It's for me to look at this situation from an entirely different angle, to help me put myself in their shoes, so to speak, and to it just helped me to see that where I was thinking, you know, I was thinking up these things, fancied or real. I mean, in, my offense may have been real. It really had been real. When I kept it to myself, that offense got bigger and bigger and bigger. And when I did the work and I could see my part in it, and that's what that fifth step really helped me do, was to look at all these offenses towards me, but look at what my reaction was, how I responded, what I did with it. And for me to ask God to help me look at it from an entirely different angle. And I need to ask God to do that, because I wasn't able to do that on my own. So very often I start my prayer with, God, please help me to see so-and-so or this situation from an entirely different angle. And I continue with my prayer. And the prayers are specific to each person. And that is very helpful too for me to be able to change. And, you know, I ask for the change in step 6 and 7. You know, I become ready, and then step 7, I ask him to the change. But I need to start looking at it from an entirely different angle, and that's where it starts for me. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M. All right, we have Lee H., followed by Cindy H., I think. Go ahead, Lee. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning, Amy. Thank you so much for your service. This is Lee H. in Tennessee, a recovered compulsive overeater. And this meeting is great. And this has really been the key for me to change. And the part I want to focus on is where it says, we began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. So I gave people power. And I did that, you know, going through this work, I realized what my part was, is I gave people power. What do I mean by that? I can be nice to you, but then deep down, I really expected something out of you to give back to me. Or I could, you know, judge you and just feed on that resentment. And, you know, so, and that just led to, it was like poison. So this work, this turnaround work is really amazing. And I really believe it's first time, I think the lead share, there was something in it that just made me realize that God is really in this work, and here we go. We're gonna give over the power that we gave other people. We're gonna give that power to God to change us, instead of us trying to change other people, which was what I was trying to do, so that they would give me something. And so it's just miraculous work, and we're gonna get more into this. I love just the prayers that come to pray daily. It's really a process. It's a daily process, but it really does work. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Lee H. from Tennessee. Okay, Cindy H., you're up, followed by Jeannie B.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for all your service. My name is Cindy H., and I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive eater in Troy, Michigan. And that sentence, too, about the wrongdoing of fancy to real had power to actually kill is how I was living my life. And I needed to look at it from a different angle, not how they were wrong and what resentments they're doing to me, but what those resentments are doing or what those resentments did for me. They were killing me. They were killing me. They were squandering my day, squandering my time. And I wanted to make myself right, and I wanted to make them wrong. I wanted to be better than them. And, boy, I can see how selfish that is. Now, I'm so grateful for this program and the things that it has taught me. And how I must be rid of these resentments. A speaker once said something about, you want to know how to get revenge for the people you resent? And he paused. And he said, pray for them. And that for me, boy, that's looking at it from a different angle. I never knew that would work before until I got into this program. So I'm so grateful for everyone's help that they've given me over these years. I've been in the program and so grateful to be able to share today. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cindy H. from Michigan. Okay, Jeannie B., followed by Judith S.P. Please go ahead, Jeannie.
Good morning. This is Jeannie B., J-E-A-N-N-I-E-B, from St. Petersburg, Florida. I just was so tickled listening to the previous share, thinking, I cannot believe I get to come on this meeting every day, 5 days a week, and hear hundreds of people and know they're out there and sharing, and we're devoting our time to our recovery. And I'm just giddy about it this morning. I have been in recovery about 2.5 years, a little more than that. So when this paragraph and these paragraphs these last couple of weeks have been just giving me a huge mirror about how resentment has eaten up my heart, my soul, my mind, and led me to the food. And this paragraph specifically talking about just reiterating to me the power I was giving over to the resentment, to the other people, to the circumstances that I did not want in my life. I do not want in my life, present tense. I am just finishing, I just finished a job and closed it down. And every day I was struggling with the anger and frustration I was feeling with the head of that organization, fighting against gossiping about her and aligning her character. And this is the first time I've ever faced a situation like that where I challenged myself every time I had those thoughts, every time I had those feelings, that energy exuding from me and those words that I would speak to other people. And I would make amends to them, and I would apologize to myself, to her, to God, to anybody I could, because I was looking at myself as much or more than I was looking at her, which was new for me. And I would use the prayer that someone along the way has taught me, which is, bless them, change me. Bless them, change me. And that simple prayer was the only thing that could get me through looking at her character. It was like, Jeannie, bless her, change me. And that's where the freedom, that's where I hear this paragraph, the freedom from giving away my power is the freedom is forgetting them. To me, the greatest revenge is not knowing their name anymore, because it isn't about them anyway. But it's also just like, stop giving away my power. Jeannie, stop. You don't need to. I can focus on my lane, which is, how can I be of service? How can I enjoy this life to the degree that I can? Like, life being life, how can I enjoy it, accept it for whatever is happening, is what's meant to happen, and just try to be in the freedom of the psychological freedom rather than giving away all my power. And with that, I want to thank you, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Jeannie. From Jeannie B. from Florida. Okay, we have Judith S.P. up, and then we'll take a few more names. Friendly reminder, page 66, third paragraph. Go ahead, Judith. You are up.
Hi, everyone. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland, gratefully recovered from excessive food eating and thoughts because of the grace of God. And thank you, Amy, and everyone who shared before me and who's listening. Didn't know I was going to share today, but some bells started going off. This is the chapter of how it works. So this is where I get down into the nuts and bolts of how do I get out of the hell that I've been living in and giving over to food the solution for the pain and anger and frustration that I've carried most of my life. And on page 58, it gives me hope because this chapter, these people are telling me that really, rarely has a person failed. But if I want what they have, I have to be willing to go to any length. I can't just take part of the program and then go on my merry way. Sometimes I feel like I want to do that. And this paragraph starts giving me a great deal of information on step three, which I've heard many people say is where I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to God. I don't have to do any more or any less, just make the decision. But in step four, I'm asked to take that decision and put it into real life and take action. If I just made the decision and sat on my laurels, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. The action is where it is for me. And I'm reminded of a story in the Big Book by Paul O. Acceptance is the answer. Now I know everybody is exactly who God created them to be, and nobody's out to get Judith or do better than Judith or make Judith feel invisible. So this beautiful step in the turnaround gives me the opportunity, which I've never in my life before, in all the therapy and all the other places I've gone, has asked me to look at what I have done, what's going on here in me. And I've got a long way to go, but thank you, God, for bringing me to the realization that I will go to any length, that I've turned my will and life over to you, and now I'm going to do the work so that I don't have to be blocked from you, the sunlight of the Spirit. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judith S.P., fellow Marylander. Judith S.P. from Maryland. Okay, so we're ready for some more names. Probably take three, maybe, I'd say, three or four.
Lynn S.
Stephanie O.
Mary F.
Lynn S.
Stephanie O.
L.
Thank you.
Yep.
Alexis F.
Alexis. Who was before Alexis? There was Lynn, Stephanie, and there was someone else.
That was
Mr.
Mary F. from Virginia.
Maria?
Mary. Mary
from Virginia.
F.
Mary.
Yes.
Mary
yes.
F. from Virginia. Okay, sorry. All right, let's going to stop there, see what we have left after that. All right, Lynn, you're up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This line, the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real. When my mom died, my dad moved her caregiver in to live with him and called her his other daughter, and never called me his daughter again. And I had a resentment. I just was beside myself. And they were together for about, I think, 6 years, 6 or 8 years. So I had a resentment for that 6 or 8 years. I was just absolutely beside myself. I wouldn't go anyway. And then a good 4 years after my dad died. And then I remember I would be so frantic and so upset and so irate all the time. And then one day, a quietness came upon me and I just stopped and it went, you know, Lynn, you are the one who wouldn't go in the house since she moved there, if she was there. They invited you, but you wouldn't go. You are the one who wouldn't talk to her if she answered the phone. You are the one who wouldn't go in his hospital room if she was there, even though they said, it's okay, you can come in. She was an active alcoholic. You understand alcoholism like nobody's business. And I sat there and I was thinking all this because it reminded me of the part just now where it talks about the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real. Were my feelings hurt? Sure they were and stuff like that. But who really, Lynn, broke up the family? Who really was the one? I was able to see the damage that I had caused. And it was a really sobering, solid God moment where there was no terrible feelings about me on one end and absolutely no feelings about my dad or Sue on the other. Just an ability to look at it from an entirely different angle. And at that moment, I was able to make amends. I couldn't make them to the woman. I was afraid of her, and I didn't know how to find her. But I knew it broke my dad's heart, the attitude that I took. And I was able to write the letter, go to his grave, read the letter, and then post the letter. It just went to Sue. I don't know where she was. But when I saw this differently, when all the resentment was gone and I was able to look at it from a different angle peacefully, that was the grace of God flowing into me. This just reminded me, fancied or real, because for those 10 years with me crying my eyes out in rage and hurt every time I left there, you know, it's thank you. It's amazing when God shows us a different way. I am so grateful to have that lifted. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynn S. from Toronto, Canada. Stephanie L., please go ahead, followed by Alexis.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Stephanie O. from Long Island, New York. I'm a recovered chronic relapser. And I am just so grateful that here we are, Christmas Eve Eve, and I am on a vision meeting. Like, life is really normal today and so consistent with these meetings. I'm just so grateful. I will be on Christmas Eve. I will be on Christmas Day. I will be on the day after, because guess what? I'm going to do great during the holiday, but that 26th is going to roll around, and that's always the day I sometimes shit the bed. I just wanted to say that reading this paragraph this morning, the word fancied, like, bumped out in like strobe lights to me, because I walked around this world. I still walk around. Please, let's not get it crooked. I still walk around this world sometimes looking to get hurt. And it's ridiculous. It's so pointless. But it is what my disease wants me to do, so that when I go home after working blah, 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 or after putting up with blah, 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 or after blah, 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 or blah, blah, all that. Go ahead, Steph. You're going to go in for a cup of coffee to that 7-Eleven, that Wawa, whatever it is, but you're not coming out with a cup of coffee. And for me, you know, right now I'm in step one. I recommitted to this program December 10th, and I wrote just recently that my alloy was food and fantasy. And fantasy is the world as Stephanie wanted it to be, the world and the people to do what I wanted them to do. And today I get to just look in the mirror and see exactly what's there. And I am a child of God, and everybody else is a child of God. I might not like them all,
but I love them. And just like that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stephanie O. from New York. Alexis F., you're up. And hopefully some time left for Mary F. Go ahead, Alexis.
Alexis F. from New Jersey. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. And what struck out at me was that we turned back to the list. I just recently stopped and finished my fourth step and my fifth step. And as I turned it over, I realized that at my part in the end had always been low self-esteem. I felt inferior. I felt like everyone else was better than I was, or I had the attitude that I was better than them. There was no meridian. There was no equator between my attitudes. So when I referred back to the list, I saw the people that I really hated. And that was my mother, my sister, and my ex-husband. And I pray for them. That's the only thing that I can do. It's my reaction to them. It's nothing else that keeps me apart from the love of them. And God is love, so if I don't have love for someone, I don't have God in that relationship. So I would like to ask everyone to pray for their character defects and their part in all their resentments, because it's helped me. And sometimes they come back, but they're just shadows of the mind. You know, they just come back, and we have the choice to decide not to let them stay or keep them. And our happiness, our joy, our contentment, and our serenity depend on it. So with that at stake, I hope I can overcome these fears and resentments in a way that God wants me to. God's will be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis F. from New Jersey. Mary F., you have got the last share. Please go ahead. Take us out.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Mary F., recovering compulsive overeater from Virginia. And I knew I had to share this morning because when I read this, I think what jumped out at me was that our wrongdoings, the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. Those are strong words. And as I continue to go through the big book, I think for my third time now, the reality of this disease becomes more and more evident to me. I have the ability to kill others, and others have the ability to kill me as well. And that truth, Bill has never led me wrong before in what he has spoken of. I might not have understood him, but what I did was he has an understanding of the disease that that I don't. And so this paragraph just almost is a wake-up call for me as far as seeing what my actions can cause in others. And I don't take it lightly. So as I continue to read, I just become more and more convinced of my compulsive eating, more and more convinced that I need help, which propels me right into the arms of my higher power. And that's my gratitude today, that I have a higher power who's there 24/7 to help me with these understandings, that I have a community of fellows who are there to help me with these understandings and these actions. So I'm ever grateful for this book, grateful for Bill. And as hard sometimes as the words are, I mean, kill is not a word I take lightly. And I don't think Bill did either, you know. So I just continue on with the grace of my higher power and with the reality and the understanding of seeing myself, who I can be and who I am in the disease. So thank you for allowing me to share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary F. from Virginia. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. What a fantastic meeting. Please join us for more of that for the second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Monday, December 23rd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,016. That's 22016. I would now like to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Chanel T., will you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you, and thank you for your service. Chanel T., grateful and recovered compulsive eater in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.